When Congress is hopelessly gridlocked, what can the righteous do? Our guest will offer insight.
You've heard one word define where they're coming from, and that's the word resist. In other words, be in opposition to anything that President Trump wants to do or take forward. It doesn't matter if it would hurt or help the American people. They don't care because their focus has been on not only resisting the Trump agenda, but they've been focusing on impeaching President Trump.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's special guest this week is former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Jan's discussion this hour with Michelle will focus on her insights into President Donald Trump and those who want to destroy his administration. Later this year, on October 7th, Michelle will be one of the speakers at our next Understanding the Times conference. To cover a wide variety of topics and themes, Michelle will be Jan's radio guest next week as well. Let's get today's conversation started with Michelle Bachmann. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the program. You know we look at news, views, truths from a decidedly biblical perspective to help you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. And you also know I've been featuring this summer my conference speakers coming up this fall, October the 7th. Just recently talked to Pastor J.D. Farag and Amir Sarfati and Mark Hitchcock, and we're talking this hour, actually, for probably a couple of weekends with an in-studio guest, the one you haven't heard from here over the summer months and weeks, and that would be Representative Michelle Bachmann. Michelle, welcome back to the studio and to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you. Great to be back with you and your wonderful audience.
You were just at the, probably 10 days ago, the Faith Advisory Initiative meeting in Washington. I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but let me ask you this first. Congress seems to be, I'm going to use the word gridlock, hopelessly gridlocked. You've got the left. I mean, they're not there to improve America. They're there only to push back. You've got seemingly two factions in the Republican Party. You've got some staunch conservatives, and then you've got others who are just going along to get along. Many are globalists. How do you see this gridlock? And right now, Americans are watching both the House of Representatives and the Senate. We're watching Obamacare dealings, socialized medicine, and everything seems to be, I'm going to use the word again, gridlocked. What are we to make of that?
On the side of the left, usually associated with the Democrat Party, you've heard one word define where they're coming from, and that's the word resist. In other words, be in opposition to anything that President Trump wants to do or take forward. It doesn't matter if it would hurt or help the American people. They don't care because their focus has been on not only resisting the Trump agenda, but they've been focusing on impeaching President Trump. So this is like amazing. He didn't have even a one-second honeymoon in this country once he was inaugurated. I was there on Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. As many people know, there was a march in Washington, D.C. against him immediately after his inauguration. So he's never had 1 second without controversy. Yeah. But I think what's surprising that you brought up is even on the Republican side, we see a lot of Republicans that oppose President Trump and who oppose his agenda, and there's a reason for it. And I think we can hopefully get into that.
I want to transition to another related issue, and that is the globalists, the one world system folks, because they were, in a sense, defeated back on November the 8th. They really thought that they had their victory assured with Hillary Clinton. The globalists want, simply stated, a world government. And I think that requires a crisis, and there's some options here for a crisis. How do you feel the globalists will try to circumvent Donald Trump? Obviously, they continue to try to make him one of them. Are they succeeding at all?
They're not succeeding in making him one of them because he isn't one of them. He is committed to the United States of America and to standing for the best interests of the United States. Donald Trump, to understand him, you really need to understand one word, and it's winning. He loves to win. He loves to win, whether it's in business. He wants to see the United States win. He really is excited about raising the stature of the United States globally and seeing the United States become strong again in our military. Our military is building up our men and women who bravely serve us. President Trump has already passed, for instance, the Whistleblower Act, so that we've actually had over 500 people rightly fired from the VA because they were terrible and hurting our veterans, and more people have been under suspension. attention. And so he inherited a huge mess, both on the global stage, but also within the U.S. government. He's not whining about it. He's just setting about setting it right. This is what he does for a living. He works extremely hard. When I was with him, he and the vice president have been working nonstop 70 days in a row. They hadn't taken a day off. And it was an awful lot of work that has to be done. But he's up to it, and he's making it happen. And people across the world are seeing it. Yeah. Not the globalists. The globalists are being frustrated at every turn because he's a very unusual character. He's not predictable, other than he is committed to the United States, and he is unashamed in standing up for increasing an awareness of God in the United States. He recognizes how important that is, and that that is a basis of Western civilization. I am so happily surprised by what I've seen in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad for this opportunity today, because I'm not here as like a Trump cheerleader. That's not what I'm about. But what I'm here to say, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I could not be more happy with what I am seeing coming out of the Trump White House. This is like beyond my wildest expectations.
Well, you told me there are actually 13 true Bible believers in his cabinet. You've told me that there are regular prayer meetings going on in the White House, the House, the Senate, and contrast that to the previous 8 years where folks were tripping over Muslim prayer rugs in the White House. So this is kind of a new day.
There are prayer meetings, there are Bible studies that are ongoing, and the president himself is a man of prayer and a man who loves to receive prayer. He is happy to receive prayer, but more important than anything, he is a man who I do believe understands who the God of the Bible is, and he wants to lift up the God of the Bible here in the United States. He again understands that is the foundation, that is the underpinning, not only of the United States, but of Western civilization itself. He said that in his speech in Warsaw recently when he was in Poland. He talked about how the Poles were the ones who, based upon their faith in God and the values that came from Western civilization, they never gave up and they fought. And he has said the same in the United States. And every time he speaks of veterans, he has a tremendous love for veterans. In the same breath, he usually always recognizes God, and God is the foundation of this country. And he said again also that things that were very commonplace in the United States, for instance, a coach praying with their team before a game, he said, what is wrong with that? Why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we saying Merry Christmas? These aren't just, you know, political one-offs. He genuinely loves America, and he loves the way America has always lived and existed based upon a respect and a reverence for God. That's what he wants to bring back again, and he is.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in studio with me the familiar voice of Michelle Bachmann. As you know, she ran for president of the United States in 2012, and she's one of my conference speakers coming up Saturday, October the 7th, just outside Minneapolis, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, along with Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Michelle, you are a part of what's known as the Faith Advisory Initiative, and this is a real cross-section of evangelicals within the faith community. And you've been called on by Mike Pence, President Trump, and others to come alongside of President Donald Trump to speak into various situations, to pray for him, etc. And as I look over those who are a part of this initiative, you've got some very solid folks. I believe there's Franklin Graham, Dr.
Yes.
Robert Jeffress,
yes.
James Dobson, yes. David Jeremiah, just some really solid folks. There are others who some would say maybe they're not quite so solid, and I think they're concerned about, for instance, of Paula White, who is, I believe, one of the most instrumental in Donald Trump's coming to faith. She's a Word of Faith pastor, which I think troubles some people. Recently, it was shown on Drudge Report and other places that Rodney Howard Brown was a part of the meeting back just about 10 days ago. That troubles a lot of people, including me. He's the sort of the founder of the Holy Laughter movement, which I've got real problems with. So my only point is you've got a cross-section on this Faith Advisory Initiative. You were there about 10 days ago. Just give me some feedback, what you saw.
It was a profoundly uplifting day for me personally. We were called in to come together as a board. We'd understood that maybe we would be talking about some policy issues. We really didn't know. I didn't know really what was going to happen. It was just setting aside the entire day in the White House complex in the Eisenhower building. And so we came in and we got started, and it was a time where we weren't just spoken to and given briefings. We were asked for our input on issues that we were concerned about. And it was recognized that we don't agree. We don't all agree theologically. We don't all agree on issues. But it was a time of dialogue to be able to bring a faith perspective into the White House, which is extremely refreshing when you consider that that really wasn't what was happening for the last 8 years. And as I saw the day move on, it was very clear to me how the Lord is working mightily in our government. And I believe, this is me speaking personally now, I believe it's because God is being reverenced. God is being lifted up. Prayer is not foreign in the White House. It's not foreign in the executive office building. Looking to God, looking through Bible study, this is not foreign now anymore. Mm. And this is a regular part of life. It's an active part of life. And it's a part of the America that we used to know and be a part of. And now it's coming back again. That only redounds to good things in our society.
Do you know who's initiating this? Somebody must be behind this kind of effort.
Well, I give credit first and foremost to the President of the United States, because it was 16 years ago that the President was watching Christian TV. And as a result of watching Christian TV, he picked up the phone and he called Paula White and he asked her to come and visit with him. And she did. She shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, and she has ministered to him and to his family. And other leaders, James Robeson and other various leaders, have gone and presented the gospel. And the Vice President has said himself, this president is a definite believer. And I have seen evidence of that myself. I'm not here to certify whether anyone is a Christian or not. I'm not doing that. But what I can tell you, the fruit that is coming out of the White House, it's like, you know, if I'm talking to my kids, I would say it's out of control. In other words, great. It is. I am just amazed at the good things that I'm seeing. And again, remember, Donald Trump is a fellow, again, who doesn't have a big background in government or in policy. That isn't what he did for most of his life. He built up a property business. He was in the entertainment industry with The Apprentice, but he's a really smart guy. He's a really quick learner. His judgments are very good. He's very tough cookie, very hardworking. And he is somebody who gets it. The fact that the God of the Bible is, he exists, he is real. And this is a positive for himself. It's a positive for America. And he's not afraid of prayer. Now, that's amazing. Here we are, and he is willing to be prayed over. Not a lot of presidents would even allow themselves to be put in that kind of a position. And this president is very bold. He is very bold about the need for God in our country.
Well, you had said to me that when you went to this Faith Advisory Initiative, again, this is some 10 days to 2 weeks ago, you had hoped that you could actually shape some policy. Was that possible?
Oh, absolutely. It was possible. We talked about a number of different things, and that all was being consolidated, and that was being put on the president's desk. That doesn't mean what we said is done.
Right.
It doesn't mean that a bill is passed, but it does mean that a lot of times you'll hear the expression, a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. The faith perspective voice was put on paper, and it's put directly on the president's desk, and he will hear what our thoughts are. And again, that's why I want to thank your listeners, because so many of your listeners have been fervently praying for our country. They've been praying for the president and the vice president, who name the name of God and who name the name of Jesus Christ. And because of those prayers, I do believe that godly people are being raised up. They're being put in positions of authority, but it's for the purpose not to force people to become Christians, for instance. It is because that's what the left always worries about, that people are going to be forced. It's nothing to do with that. It's about listening to what would be the best for America. My judgment historically, as someone who's a Christian who's been in government, is that biblical principles work. They're reality, and they work. They work well. And that's what we're trying to do, bring biblical principles to the president's office, and then he can decide what he wants to do from there.
Well, you said to me that people need to pray that godly policy advisors would come into Donald Trump's life.
Yes.
godly spiritual advisor. He seems to have a fair number of spiritual advisors. How spiritually sound, I don't know a lot of these folks. I know that Franklin Graham is extremely sound. I don't know all of the others. Robert Jeffress is extremely sound. But I think you're suggesting that some policy people come into his life so that sound policies could be drafted as well.
Oh, sure. I think that's for the good of the country. We want people with sound policy who will come in and speak into his life because, again, he doesn't have a background in policy. But I'll tell you, he's very quick and he wants to know what's the problem. How can we do it? How quickly can we get it done? Like I gave the example about the vets. He loves vets.
Right.
And he got that into place. He understood how important it was to get a very good justice in. We got Justice Gorsuch. He has also nominated 23 great people for the judiciary, all people that we would love to see on the bench. And the holdup has been actually the Republicans in the United States Senate. It's a real problem. He's nominated 23 great people. Only two have been confirmed. This is ridiculous. And I hope we can talk about that because there's things that your listeners can do to help this process move along. But the main thing I want your listeners to know is that I truly believe there prayers are being answered wildly because I'm seeing in Donald Trump and Mike Pence and the people who are serving us in the White House, they're normal people. Mm-hmm. They're very normal. They're happy people and they love the country. They're trying to do the very best they can. And godly people are speaking into their lives. They're listening to a lot of voices. But whereas godly people, for my estimation, were excluded from public policy, they are no longer being excluded.
How much influence actually does, for instance, a Jared Kushner have? Family member, background being kind of a liberal Democrat, how much influence would a Jared Kushner have?
Well, it's hard for me to say. I mean, I'm not there every day in the White House. I've met him several times at the White House. I was privileged to be there for the National Day of Prayer and a dinner with the president, but also now for the faith leader meeting about 10 days ago. And he's very respectful and he is serious about wanting to help the president. One thing that's clear is that he is not the president. The president is the president. And he respects the chain of command. He listens to the chain of command. He had all good things to say about Vice President Mike Pence. And the president had very good things to say about the vice president. They made it very clear that the president and the vice president work together very closely. Every day they're together. Every day they're conferring. It's a very good team working together. And I think that was one of the best choices that the president made. And you will hear that from Jared Kushner as well, that Mike Pence was an excellent choice for this country.
Yeah, and you've actually expressed some hesitation about some of those serving, actually, in his inner circle. I think I want to get to talking about that in my second segment, because you have told me you've got some concerns, for instance, James Mattis, even General McMaster, and then we've got some Wall Street fellows serving high in the administration as well, Steve Mnuchin, Gary Cohn, and others. And some of these fellows, if they're representing, coming out of the Goldman Sachs sort of background, that concerns me as well. Why don't we pick up on this when I get back from my first time out? Folks, got Michelle Bachman in studio with me. She's one of my speakers, October 7th. Come on out and meet her. We'll be talking about all sorts of current events as they relate to the Bible. We'll talk about the lateness of the hour. We'll have Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock, as well as the whole team here from Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. And there's no cost, no registration. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Don't miss Understanding the Times Radio next week when Michelle Bachman returns to discuss Islam and the problems Islam is causing in many communities across our nation. Since Michelle will be with us for this current two-part series, we suggest you wait until next week to order copies of both programs. To order just one or both programs with Michelle Bachman, phone 763-559-4444. If you are new to Understanding the Times Radio, we invite you to join us online to discover who we are and what this ministry is all about. At our website, olivetreeviews.org, you'll find information about our newsletter, our news headlines, our podcast, as well as over 5 years of archived radio programs. We invite your participation in this listener-supported broadcast ministry. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, Jan Markell returns with Michelle Bachman. We are finalizing our 21st Understanding the Times Conference. for October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Please consider joining us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed, but you need to make hotel reservations early. Meet believers from across America who take our time seriously but have a hope and expectancy many do not have. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive will be caught up in the air. In other words, he was completely sure it's going to happen in his lifetime. And that's the way we should live, as if it is going to happen at any given minute.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And to me, that's a great picture of Bible prophecy for us. Knowing what's coming gives you peace of mind. And the Bible tells us that prophecy has a calming influence on our lives.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
That's not to be dismissive of the seriousness of what's happening in the world today. But thankfully, we have prophecy in the Bible that tells us not only what's going to happen at the time of the end, but why it's going to happen and where it's going to lead. And by the way, spoiler alert, we win.
Michelle Bachman.
These people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get there.
Visit our website for details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Helping you stay informed on issues that could change your life.
When President Trump stated unequivocally the United States will not be a part of the Paris Climate Change Treaty, that is the biggest action he could have taken, because he has slammed the door shut on what the globalists intended would be the main number one funding stream for global government. And they were going to do that through the Paris Climate Change Treaty.
From 2007 to 2015, Michelle Bachman represented Minnesota's 6th Congressional District, and she was a candidate for president in 2012. Currently, she's a frequent speaker in conferences around the world. We invite you to come hear Michelle in person at our next Understanding the Times conference, October 7th in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Once again, Jan Markell.
We will no longer surrender this country or its people to the false song of globalism. The nation state remains the true foundation for happiness and harmony. I am skeptical of international unions that tie us up and bring America down. And under my administration, we will never enter America into any agreement that reduces our ability to control our own affairs.
And welcome back. And we've been talking for the first segment, at least, about a number of issues, including the one world government situation. Let me just quickly say that you can get a CD of any program, and I'm going to tip you off here real early that we're going to be doing two interviews with Michelle this week and next week. If you'd like to get a couple of CDs, you might want to wait until we finish the two-part series next weekend. You can become a CD subscriber. You have to call us for that. That's just $15 a month, but we have to process that with a credit card. I have Michelle Bachman in studio with me, and we're talking, the first program anyway, about domestic issues. We opened it talking about the fact that the globalists were really defeated back on November the 8th, and they're reeling as a result. And I'm of the belief that global government will come in someday. It'll come in because of a crisis. Frankly, I think the crisis is not going to be financial, environmental, or even war. I think the crisis will be the rapture that will throw the world into chaos and bring on that global government. And I teased in the first segment that I wanted to get in this segment to some further domestic issues. And Michelle Bachmann, initially you had some concerns about General James Mattis. I think primarily because he didn't seem to be a real pro-Israel guy. I think you had some concerns about General McMaster primarily because it seemed like he wanted to continue on with some PC and we're not going to call Islam terrorists, etc., that kind of sentiment, and that caused you some consternation. Where are you at now?
It did. I was very concerned initially of potential anti-Semitism. That's part of what I was reading, but I have not seen that coming from General Mattis. As a matter of fact, he has done a brilliant job at defeating ISIS. He's moving down that road. For the first time now, ISIS has been completely defeated in Mosul.
Yes.
In northern Iraq. That was a huge victory. And of course, the media made nothing of it. They want to talk about this fake Russia collusion
right.
that nobody's been managing to find. But in the meantime, General Mattis is doing a brilliant job on pushing ISIS to defeat. And I am extremely grateful for the direction that that is going. When it comes to General McMaster, I have talked to people on the inside who said that he is a very good guy when it comes to dealing with radical terrorism and Islam. And I think I would like to encourage all these guys in the military and wherever, get away from political correctness. Don't worry about it. Take a cue from President Trump. He is not politically correct, as everybody knows. And I think the American people are ready to get rid of political correctness. They're worried about everybody's feelings being hurt, including hurting the feelings of terrorists. I'm not really worried about hurting the feelings of terrorists. I just want to defeat them. And I think that's where Donald Trump is going. But you had talked about globalism, and I think it can't be said enough. When President Trump stated unequivocally the United States will not be a part of the Paris Climate Change Treaty,
right,
that is the biggest action he could have taken, because he has slammed the door shut on what the globalists intended would be the main number one funding stream for global government. And they were going to do that through the Paris Climate Change Treaty. And if the United States isn't in the treaty, there's no treaty, because we're it. We're the one that had to send all the payments out to the poor, smaller countries of the world.
Right.
And nobody else was planning to comply. It was just going to bankrupt the United States and hurt manufacturing and kill jobs. That's all it was going to be about, because the globalists are looking for any avenue they can to collapse the United States. That's why we have the third world pouring into our border and overwhelming our social services. All of these things that globalists have been trying to do to bring down and collapse the United States, Donald Trump is having none of it. He is all about building the United States up, whether it's the jobs, and they've been growing, and the economy, that's been growing. And so he's in the process of turning the things around. The problem is the Republican Congress,
right,
quite honestly, I was there. I don't understand them. They are not embracing a pro-America, pro-job innovation point of view. And how can you look your constituents in the eyes and not do something to raise wages, raise jobs, and also bring down the cost of health care by repealing Obamacare? President Trump rightly has stated publicly that the Republican Congress has passed the full repeal of Obamacare 61 times. They were happy to do it when Obama was president and they couldn't lose Obamacare, and now they're unwilling to do it.
Well,
and it's like, get with it.
Let's transition into that for a moment. Now, healthcare is on the verge of collapse. I know
it is. It's unaffordable.
Because I've known you well and known you so long, I know that you ran for the presidency in 2012 partly to get rid of Obamacare.
Oh yeah, that was my number one reason
that
why
was
I ran.
I think you backed Mitt Romney into a corner and made him pledge that he would repeal it. I mean, this has been a passion of yours and a lot of other people as well, quite frankly. Healthcare is on the verge of collapse. Socialized medicine is the prize, certainly, of the left. And I'm beginning to wonder, is it a prize of some on the right, too?
Well, yeah, because here's the problem. You have all of these big donors. That's primarily the insurance industry.
Mm-hmm.
They were the people who backed Hillary Clinton. And so they had given her all this money because what do they want? They want government to ensure that they have a monopoly. So just a few insurance carriers are the ones that we all have to run to buy our insurance product. That means less competition. It means that all of our premiums jack up. Well, when Hillary Clinton lost, they went screaming because they'd put all their money, all their chips were on her. So now what were they going to do? So then these big donors in the insurance industry went and they couldn't give Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, the head of the House and the head of the Senate, Senate. They couldn't give them enough money in donations. And so quite frankly, what we're seeing is this same donor community is saying they want to keep this game going. So it's only a couple of insurance companies. And unfortunately, the Republicans have done absolutely nothing. They've been squeaky silent because they're trying to continue this monopoly for those insurance companies. What's the answer? Here it is. It's the simplest thing in the world. All you have to do is legalize letting you and me buy any insurance product we want in America. Just legalize it. Let any company form or start up and sell any kind of insurance they want. Today, I'm forced to buy a Cadillac gold-plated health insurance plan, whether I want it or not. I not only pay for myself, but I have to pay for gold-plated Cadillac insurance plans for every person from the third world who's been pouring into our country. So I'm paying for everybody else's health care in addition to mine. That's why my former assistant was talking to me recently, and she told me that she's 35 years old, very healthy single woman. She pays $600 a month for her health insurance premium, but her deductible is $13,000 a year. So she just has to pay cash if she has to go to the doctor. That's very typical for what a lot of your listeners are going through right now. And they're saying to this Republican Congress, would you just listen to the president? The president tweeted, and so did the vice president said recently on Rush Limbaugh, just pass a repeal bill and replace it later. So if we repeal Obamacare, don't worry that the health industry will collapse. It won't. What will happen is that your health insurance premiums will be at least $3,000 cheaper a year. And we'll just go back to the options we had in 08 and 09. And again, it's so easy. It's ridiculous. All you have to do is let every American buy any health insurance they want. And I am not kidding, Jan. Within months, the health insurance problem would be solved. We'd all have a lot more money in our pocket every paycheck.
Right. Now, we've got some town halls coming up sometime in August.
Yes.
We have them every August. And I think it would be good if we exhorted listeners. They can attend these town hall meetings. They can say to their representatives, their senators, whoever they're going to go out and hear, you know, number one, we want our health care back, please. Yep. Let's limit the number of Muslims coming into the country. And we're going to talk about that in our second program, by the way. Basically tell them, look, keep your promises or else.
That's right. And after all, this is what they spend millions of dollars on TV ads every fall, telling you what they're going to do. Now they have to stop being hypocrites and actually do it. I mean, we're all sick of this. We've seen this game before. And we all realized when Donald Trump was elected on November 8th that this was the last exit ramp for this country. God performed a miracle. We were given a reprieve. We have been faithfully, daily praying for this country and our president. God is answering that prayer. Now the Congress has to get whipped up into shape. And in August, they're home for parades. They're home for town hall meetings. And I would suggest, really, your listeners, through their churches, invite your local U.S. senator, invite your local U.S. House of Representatives person. Their name is in the phone book, or you can look it up online. It's in the government section. So just call them up and say, you know, look, we can have 500 people in our church. We can have 1,000 people in our church. We want you to come in. We're not going to embarrass you. We just want you to come in, and we want to talk to you about things that are concerning for us. And then talk to them about taxes. Talk to them about regulations. Talk to them about health care. And talk to them about faith issues. What do you think about defunding Planned Parenthood? What do you think about Americans having to be forced to pay for abortions? Or whatever issue it is that you care about, or marriage, or whatever issue. Bring that up, and you can do that. And many of these U.S. senators and House members, especially who are Republican, they count on the faith community for our vote. Well, Donald Trump wouldn't be president today if it hadn't been for the evangelical Christians in this country. There's no question. Over 81% of all evangelicals in this country voted for Donald Trump. He would not be president today. It's because Christians got out and voted. Well, now it's time to say Donald Trump is doing what I think he needs to be doing. He's not perfect, but I will tell you, I have been shocked by how grateful I am at what he has done as president. Again, I'm not a Donald Trump cheerleader. I'm telling you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I am amazed at what I'm seeing happening in the White House for good. Now we need to goose these U.S. senators and and House members and say, this is not politics as usual. Mm. Get up off your sorry rear end in the vernacular and go and do what you said you were going to do. Remember, every day that goes by is one less day of this presidency. There is no guarantee how any future election is going to turn out, and they have very little precious time to do something. And I'll give you one example. In the Senate, we have a Republican senator from Iowa, Chuck Grassley, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. Donald Trump has nominated the most wonderful pro-life, pro-original construction of the Constitution justices, 23 justices. We have a Republican Senate. They confirm. Only two of the 23 have been confirmed. If I was the Senate Judiciary Chair today, Jan, I would call a committee hearing and I would put all 23 on the docket and we wouldn't leave until they were all confirmed today. There is no reason in the world why we can't do that. Meanwhile, we have all of these super liberal, anti-constitutional Obama judges sitting on the bench and they're overruling Donald Trump every day, like on his executive order saying, look, if you're coming from a terrorist country, we're going to do extra vetting before you came in. Thank you, Mr. President, for trying to keep our country safe. We need other judges on the bench that will read federal law and who will follow the Constitution, because what Donald Trump ordered regarding national security is 100% constitutional, and we need judges who are going to follow the Constitution. So contact Chuck Grassley in Iowa and say, get with it, and get with it, you Republican senators, and get these judges through.
All right. The Senate has confirmed only 50 Trump nominees to date.
In the federal government. Now, let me explain that. Now, that's the entire federal government.
Exactly.
Only 50 people.
And in 2009, the Senate confirmed 202 Obama appointees at this time.
And so what that says is that Republicans were giving Barack Obama his way. And now when there's a Republican president, they put their foot on the brake and they're thwarting this president. It's like, what in the, whose team are you on?
Not America's
what
team.
What is not on America's, not on our team? I am so mad at these guys. I call up my former colleagues. I email and I text my former colleagues and I said, what gives? What's going on? I live out here in normal land. Mm-hmm. I live in Realville. And I know that the American people are sick to death of these Republicans thwarting President Trump at every turn. And I think it's about time they stop this for whatever temper tantrum they have. They need to get on board and they need to pass this agenda, because we've got to repeal Obamacare. We've got to cut down the cost of people's health insurance premiums, and we've got to lower people's taxes, and we've got to get jobs again in this country, and we've got to stop the unending pipeline of poverty of dumping people from the third world on the American citizen taxpayer who has to pay for their free housing and their free health care and giving them free cars. And it is destroying the country because they aren't coming in with Judeo-Christian values. In fact, some of them are even coming in with the hope of turning this country into an Islamic caliphate.
We're going to talk about that in program number two for next weekend. I've got just a couple of minutes left in this segment, Michelle, but to talk a little bit about this transgender issue. We were talking about that during a break, and I think folks, because this is sort of the issue of the decade here, and it came into being in the last administration, because they were obsessed with these kinds of abnormalities, if I dare say it.
Well, nobody ever even heard of it before.
Of course not.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden, out of nowhere, under President Barack Obama, all of a sudden we understood that little 13-year-old girls in the local junior high locker room shower room would have to be sharing a shower with a 17-year-old boy from high school because he might think he's a girl today. I mean, this is like beyond ridiculous. Well, then we find out, I wasn't even aware of this, that under Barack Obama, he mandated that our U.S. military would be forced to go out and recruit people who consider themselves transgender to come in the military, and then we would pay for the very expensive process of hormone treatment, sex change operations. It's like, what? This is the military. Their whole reason for being is to have unit cohesion and make America safe and win wars. Instead, from Barack Obama's perspective, the military was going to be turned into a sex change clinic. I mean, this is like, you can't even make this up.
That's right.
It's like ridiculous. ridiculous? President Trump put a hold on this for 6 months so they could study and figure out what was going on. Remember, all this just came at the administration immediately. So they have a 6-month reprieve. And so what we need believers to do is, again, when you contact your U.S. senator from your state and when you contact your member of Congress, you need to tell them, look, we're not going to have our military out recruiting transgenders so that I can pay for them to have a sex change operation. So what we need to have is for the Trump administration to order the U.S. military, we're going to stop this, and instead we're going to be a military again, and hopefully men are going to be men and women are going to be women, and what we're going to do is focus on defending the United States of America and winning wars so that America can be safe. We're not making this up. This is not some weird thing we read off of some internet story. This is one example of what Barack Obama did to this country.
Exactly.
This is part of the devastation that he left. And I mean, Jan, you and I could spend 100 hours talking about how Barack Obama, and again, I'm not trying to be Democrat, Republican here or anti, you know, racist because he's black and I'm white. That isn't what this is about. This is about we love this country. God gave this country as a gift to the world and to us. Why? Because we had Christians who were unashamed to be Christians, unashamed to name the Bible, unashamed to have a stand on biblical values. And Barack Obama, I'm not kidding, for 8 years, he did everything he could to destroy the biblical values of this country. Mm-hmm. Now Donald Trump is trying to lift up those values again in the United States. We can help him as believers by praying, but also by demanding of our local elected officials that they get in gear with and restore biblical values in this country.
When we get back, and I have a short closing segment, I want to ask you, because I've heard you say, I've actually heard Mark Levin say this on air frequently, he's concerned about a coup. I think you at one time were concerned about a coup. Let's talk about that in my closing segment as we go out of the program. Don't go away.
Every weekend, Understanding the Times Radio reaches from coast to coast and around the world on the internet. From all over the country, people tell us we're meeting a need they're not getting in their local churches. This national broadcast costs tens of thousands of dollars every month to make it possible to reach into your neighborhood. You can help us maintain this aggressive radio ministry. Please consider partnering with us. Your tax-deductible gifts are welcome online at olivetreeviews.org, or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or when you call 763-559-4444. Thank you in advance for helping us bring this message to America and the world. Michelle Bachman and Understanding the Times continues right after this.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world, and he offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on his name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org, or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow, because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity.
In today's world, who do you trust for good insight on current events? For that matter, who do you trust for good Bible commentary? America is full of fake news and false teaching. That's why we want to offer you an alternative to both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, and our main objective is to tell you the truth about current events as they relate to a biblical worldview. Join us each week on this station for a source you can trust.
Don't forget, Michelle Bachman returns next week for part two of this two-part series. Once again, with the final segment of today's Understanding the Times, here's Jan Markell.
Our strong alliance with Poland and NATO remains critical to deterring conflict and ensuring that war between great powers never again ravages Europe and that the world will be a safer and better place. We're working with Poland in response to Russia's actions and destabilizing behavior. And we're grateful for the example Poland has set for every member of the NATO alliance by being one of the few nations that actually meets its financial obligations. Not only must we secure our nations from the threat of terrorism, but we must also confront the threat from North Korea. And that's what it is. It's a threat. President Duda and I call on all nations to confront this global threat and publicly demonstrate to North Korea that there are consequences for their very, very bad behavior.
We're wrapping up our first hour with Michelle Bachman. She'll be back next weekend. Encourage you to get a couple of CDs and hand them out to friends who don't have access to this kind of information. You can always get it online at my website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. Just go to radio and you'll see our complete archives there, about 5-6 years of programming. You can listen to this kind of program over and over again if you'd like. Follow us on Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. You can look into both my print and e-newsletter. I'm wrapping up here with Michelle. And Michelle, I kind of teased in that last segment. I want to talk to you about a couple of things in the literally very few minutes that we have left. I hear Mark Levin in the evenings very often. He's concerned about a coup coming against Donald Trump. I've heard you reference that a couple of times as well, your concern. Talk to us a little bit about that.
I was very concerned back when the story came out that Steve Bannon had been kicked off the National Security Council. And then there were a number of other events that happened that looked like there was a real shift in power in the Trump administration. Because Donald Trump didn't have a big background in public policy, I was worried that people were going to come in and kind of do a bait and switch. I think that those concerns in some measure have been addressed. And again, there is no perfect scenario, but I love this president and what he's doing. I'm very, very proud of him. He's a tough guy. And he is not going to take the route that Bill Clinton took or that Barack Obama took or that George Bush took of really appeasement toward the North Koreans, because today it's now the son of the fellow who was in before. And Donald Trump is apprised of this situation, that this guy is very dangerous, very unstable, very unpredictable, and he is not about to allow anything negative to happen against the United States or really in the region. And so he is going to take every possible measure. Nothing is off the table. They've made that very clear. And of course, the final thing on the table is the nuclear option. That isn't off the table. He'll take whatever it takes to make sure that this fellow is not successful, and he's communicated that. Now, unfortunately, the Chinese, who have the most leverage, haven't been doing what they should be doing. They could easily be having a blockade, so to speak, an economic blockade of North Korea. They are North Korea's largest trading partner, and they're not doing that, and they should be. And the president has been calling them on it. But whatever China does, the United States will act, and this president will act accordingly, because he is about America's best interests. This, again, has set the globalists on edge, because Donald Trump, no matter what, is looking out for the national security and economic interests of the United States. And that's it. That is his bottom line. America will be better because of him being president. That's his mindset. But it's also a great result for all of us. I hope I communicate that during the course of this message today, that I'm shocked at how happy I've been with what I've seen so far. And again, I really believe that it's because of prayer. I totally believe it's based on prayer. He's president because of prayer. The advances we've seen are based on prayer. And I think going forward, that is what we need. And it really comes down to us as believers. What are we going to do? Are we going to seek the Lord? Are we going to cry out for our nation, for our president? That's the key.
I'm going back to policy here for just a minute, because there's something I don't want to skip over here in this first hour of recording. And we know there are some Obama holdovers in the administration. As a matter of fact, probably way too many. But do you sense there are some Muslim Brotherhood holdovers in the administration? And if so, how does one even get rid of them?
Well, I have no doubt. Well, they're civil service.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And under civil service, this is one thing that bothers me. I don't think there should be public employee unions. to be honest with you. I just don't think there should. I'm not against fair and good wages and benefits for people who serve the public. I used to be a public employee, but I do believe that it's antithetical to have a public employee union that's at odds with the taxpayers. Yeah. You're supposed to be public servants. And what Barack Obama did with Valerie Jarrett is embed people all across the federal government. And once you're in civil service, you can't be bounced out. It's like virtually impossible. So I think legislation will probably have to be enacted so you can bounce people based upon evidence. We know for a fact that there were brothers in the House Intelligence Committee who were involved in the technical aspect that had to be bounced out because they had access classified information. This is a very serious offense that occurred. So they're out. It takes something almost that bad to get somebody out. So are there people in the Muslim Brotherhood? I believe without a shadow of a doubt there are people who are affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood who are embedded in the United States government. And I think that that's where we need to be in prayer. And I believe that God will honor those prayers. And so that is something very specific that I would ask of your listeners, that they would pray that God would remove people who intend harm for the United States and that he would bring people in who will do good for the United States. That's very simple. Also, again, that there would be a steady supply of godly wisdom coming into the ears of our president and those in authority. We need that, and I believe that God has been answering those prayers thus far.
Something else you said to me, and this is still in the realm of policy, and that is, and you said another way listeners can pray is pray that President Trump makes only policy that blesses Israel. In the process, we're going to be blessed as a country. And in the next program, we can talk a little bit about your experience in Israel. But do you feel, I mean, he was the first president to pray at the Western Wall, which was encouraging. That was back
in early June. And his tweet, at the time that he was at the wall, he tweeted to the world, "I am here at the wall praying, asking God for wisdom." Mm-hmm. Could there be a better prayer? And that's not a fake tweet. That's who this guy is now. And I just think, again, we need to thank God. We need to thank God that he has answered our prayers and that we have a man of faith who is in the office. At least he appears to me a man of faith because he's doing a lot of godly things for this country right now.
Well, you've said it many times. I say the same thing. It's hard for anyone to understand the issues that we're talking about, the issues of the world, the issues of the day.
Well, the corrupt media, the fake media, and even the so-called friendly media is like nonsense. They won't even spend the valuable time they have telling us real things and real facts. We have to hear nonsense about this person said that about that person. What do you think about it? Who gives a rip? We need to have genuine information to work off of. I think if there was a channel out there that would do that, that'd be the number one channel in the United States.
Well, American journalism is collapsing, obviously.
That's ridiculous.
It's obsessing over the destruction of the Trump administration. It's majoring in minors. It's majoring in fake news.
100%.
And you've been a victim of that, of course, yourself. I mean, it's kind of come down to the only safe places. Talk radio still tells the truth, and you can find safe spaces on the internet that tell the truth. Otherwise, news is either fake, it's hysterical, it's unreliable, and that often includes our favorite cable channel, Fox News. But American journalism is absolutely collapsing.
Well, I'll tell you, that speaks to the success of Understanding the Times and Olive Tree Views. Wow. Because this ministry is speaking directly to the hearts of believers. And believers want to know what in the world is happening. And that's what you are doing. You are looking at the time clock, the signs of the times, and you are then interpreting for your faithful listeners what is happening. I can't tell you, Jan, what an invaluable service this is. And I've listened to your radio show for years. I listened to it as a member of Congress. I listened to it when I was running for presidency of the United States. You had vital front burner issues on. I'm not saying that to flatter you or to flatter your team. I'm saying, for believers, we need this. We need to know what is going on. I never miss one of your podcasts, and I listen all through the week. Sometimes I'll listen 2 and 3 times to a podcast because the information is that good. Because there are very few places you can go for credibility. You didn't ask me to say this.
No, I didn't.
I'm telling you what's in my heart because I speak all over the world. Yeah. And this is what I hear from people. In fact, I told you that I met a couple in Jerusalem from Australia. The wife's name is May, and she knows who she is. She listens to you. And she said, I said, oh, I'm Michelle Bachman. She said, the first thing she said to me is, oh, I hear you on Jan Markell. She listens to you. You are listened to and loved all over the world, and your entire team, Eric and, you know, everybody who's on your team. They love you. And it's because you tell the unvarnished truth as according to the Word of God in the best way you can. And yes, you know, we all make mistakes and we're all human, but we are so appreciative and so grateful. And I just want to say, for on behalf of myself and really on your listener audience, we know you sacrifice, and we thank you and your team for what you do for the body of Christ.
Well, thank you. And it is a team. We've got Larry Kutzler and Eric Barger and Jill Martin Rishi. So it's
she's so great.
We got a team here that works together, we hope, in sync. And we actually hope we have stirred things up, because frankly, if more media outlets were stirring things up, people would get the truth, but they're not getting the truth. Michelle, I'm completely out of time. Let me just quickly say to folks that we're going to come back next weekend. We're going to continue this. You have covered very expertly, I think, some of the inside the administration issues here this hour. We need to look at some other, well, I think, troubling issues next week. We're going to look at this invasion that's coming upon the Western world, and it's a planned invasion. We're going to talk about that. I want to talk a little bit about your trip to Israel that you had recently. We'll just do a brief segment on that, but it was so fascinating what happened to you. That would have been a month or so ago. So folks, join me again next weekend, won't you? If you'd like a couple of CDs of this program, call my office and we'll arrange for you to get a CD of both programs. I am completely out of time. I just want to say with the psalmist, won't you? I trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. Thankfully, they're in his hands. They're not in our hands. So we trust in you, O Lord. Our times are in your hands. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend, nationwide, and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org. or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.